guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is the director of Justice, a period Western action drama available on digital and on demand. Richard Gabay is on the program. Richard, how are you doing?
Hey. Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. We watched your film, and we enjoyed it a lot.
I'm glad to hear that. When I heard you guys didn't cancel me as a guest, I figured you were in okay shape.
We rarely cancel. We rarely cancel.
People often get canceled on.
We get canceled on. That does happen.
We will lie and say how much we liked a project and still have the guest on.
Yeah, right. But then if they cancel on us, then we say our true feelings.
Then it's all season. All bets are off. Right.
So
enjoyed the movie.
You made a Western, Richard. They're not making a lot of Westerns these days. Why are they not making more Westerns? I liked it, and it made me think, why is there not more Westerns out there?
Well, I think there are a few every year. One of the main reasons is that they pretty much only have a U.S. audience. So when you're trying to finance a movie, if you're not remaking The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington, it's pretty tough.
Is that true that the only U.S. audiences like Westerns?
That is true.
There isn't a romanticizing of the West anymore? Are they over us? The rest of the world?
I don't think they're over us. I think it may have always been the case. I mean, Westerns sell to Australia, and I think they sell to Italy. But
I was going to say, I think Italy has a pretty big Western audience.
That's kind of about it. But, it's not big, and releasing a movie theatrically, costs big money. So then it just leaves the ancillary markets, and with the demise of DVD, pretty much, those numbers are just so small that if you're not going to get a bunch of the major countries overseas, you got to pretty much finance it on a U.S. sale. So I think that makes it a little bit riskier, and since the Western genre, it takes some horses and some guns and some sets. It's not like, making a movie in a warehouse with a bunch of guys in black suits or something.
I was wondering if the Western landscaping that they use in Westerns, it's all kind of the same setup, right? There's a small town. You got to have a place in the middle where everybody can meet in the dirt and have a duel. And there's got to be a saloon, right? Do you guys just recycle the same one over and over again?
Well, it's interesting. This is my first Western. It's been on my cinematic bucket list since I was a little kid and first developed a love for movies. I was a big fan of classic Westerns from Howard Hawks and John Ford and all that. So I always wanted to make a Western. But this is the only one I've ever made. So this is the only one that I could speak to. We shot the film in New Mexico, at a place called the Bonanza Creek Ranch. And what's interesting about it, it has that town and it has the saloon, and a lot of Westerns have shot there. I mean, 310 to Yuma, a few years ago. And I mean, innumerable Westerns. And what's interesting is one of the early Westerns that I saw that actually came out, I was a really little kid. And I went and saw a John Wayne Western called The Cowboys. And it starred Robert Carradine. It was his first movie. And Robert Carradine, who sort of got a lot of fame as Lewis in Revenge of the Nerds and then was the dad on Lizzie McGuire and all that other stuff, has had a pretty big film career. And his first movie was The Cowboys with John Wayne. And interestingly enough, it was shot at the Bonanza Creek Ranch in New Mexico. So when I called him up...
It's one of my favorite John Wayne films.
It's a great movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's actually a script I'm, sort of working with a producer on of the Cowgirls, kind of a flip of that. But
you're going to Ghostbusters it?
Only it'll be good. and I honestly didn't see the remake of the Ghostbusters. I just refused.
Mike, here's your line. What did you think about the new Ghostbusters?
Richard, I'll tell you about the Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters remake, it was fine. It wasn't like great, but you watch
it wasn't fine.
And there was some things that were funny in it, And ultimately, like it was fine. If you put Ghostbusters on a pedestal and you want to make it as good as Ghostbusters, it's not going to be. But if you just go see the movie, it's fine.
Right. Like, if I had seen the trailers that annoyed the high holy hell out of me, I might have just had a good time at the movie.
That's right. You got to go into it.
But anyway.
It's Ghostbusters as an SNL.
They're all extremely successful and extremely talented, and I should be so lucky as to make a film of that caliber. But
that is the beautiful answer.
It's the truth. You know, I've been kind of a blue-collar filmmaker for 25 years. I've directed 26 independent movies, I think. So, but I really enjoy the experience of actually making a Western. And even though it was shot in 18 days, which is fairly remarkable from a production standpoint, and had an extremely limited budget, the crew and everyone I was working with in New Mexico and my cinematographer, Scott Peck, who came out from LA with me, and the post-production facility I work with, and my buddies here in LA, Jeff Murphy and his gang at Quest, you know, we really were able to, I think, pull it off. It certainly doesn't look like a small movie to me.
It has some big names in it. You got a Twilight guy in it, and you got Meadow Soprano, and you got the Stephen Lang, the bad guy from Avatar.
And Slang is awesome.
That guy, my Slang. He has a bad guy face. He's a perfect bad guy for everything because he's just got the bad guy face.
He's an extremely talented guy and such a sweet guy to work with. You know, not to throw any of the other great actors I've worked with under any kind of bus, because I've been fortunate to work with a lot of great actors. I think he's the finest actor I ever worked with.
Just one
and
take
and
done.
The best in me, and brought out the best in everybody else.
We played a clip of your movie before you came on, and it was of him. It was my favorite part of the movie, where he just kind of says some cold blooded shit, Trump. He says some cold blooded shit.
You are a stupid man. I don't hire you to think. I heard the clips. That's when I called in, and I heard it. And that's one of my favorite scenes. And it's a funny story about shooting that scene is that we shot the scene with John Lewis, who played Reb, who's also one of the writers and one of the producers on the film, and Steven. And there was a human error in the downloading of the footage. And we lost John's whole side of the scene, all of his lines back to Stephen Lang, his entire close-up in all sizes. And we had to go back 4 days later and reshoot his entire
just his
side
part
of the scene with just his part. And I sat there next to the camera and went back into actor mode, and I played the Stephen Lang part. And well, I think it's still one of the best scenes.
Yeah, it's the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, and John Lewis's part, Reb, he did all of that opposite me. So there you go, the magic of movies.
Hey, Matt, do
and
you?
Yes, we were fully annoyed when we found out that footage had gotten as Schwarzenegger would have said, erased.
So it was somebody's fault.
Just human error. Human error.
Were they chastised for their error?
Well, you know, you saw that whipping scene that we had later in the film. We just put him on that for
an
a while.
Impromptu stunt double.
Richard, how many times have you had to tell somebody they'll never work in this town again?
Oh, that's a good line. A 25 career, I guarantee. Said
you know,
before,
you know what my favorite line is? I say it to other people. If someone and I get along, I'm not saying this because I'm on a show that has billions of listeners, as I'm sure this does.
Oh, billions.
But I work with great people. But if there's somebody new who I just, you know, is annoying one of my regular guys, I always go up to him and I said, you know, that guy, Mike, I just gave him a 2-picture deal. And the guy, my friend, would be like, really? I said, yeah, his first and his last. But I've never said that anyone would ever work again. It's usually a fear I hold out for myself, you know, after after every movie, I wonder if I'm ever going to work again. And thankfully, usually what always has come to pass that I do.
Richard, while I was looking stuff up on you, I found Dinosaur Island on YouTube.
You can't go wrong with that.
Richard, Dinosaur Island is a masterpiece, Richard.
You know, it really is. It really and truly is. And
wait a minute, Richard, you made that movie?
I starred in that movie. I didn't make that movie.
You starred in that movie?
Matt, the clip I sent you earlier, that was Richard.
That was Richard?
That was Richard.
With the big heavy tit broad on top of him?
Yeah, we're not going to go into graphic detail now.
Richard, what was that dinosaur made out of?
It can't be too graphic. It was on YouTube. I couldn't believe it when you sent that clip. I'd never seen the film, and you sent that clip, and I was like, I'm intrigued, obviously, by the clip you sent, but I couldn't believe it was on
YouTube. It was a Roger Corman movie, if you're familiar with it. King of Bee and genre pictures.
I love Roger Corman.
And that was a fantastic experience.
Is that on the DVD? Can you get Dinosaur Island? Because Dinosaur Island is a masterpiece that needs to be enjoyed by a new audience.
It does. It was, you know, from the full uncut version through to the USA Up All Night version, it is a classic. And there are very few people who have spent a couple of weeks on Dinosaur Island with a bunch of cave girls.
Richard, USA Up All Night. Was it the Rhonda Shear years or the Gilbert Godfrey years when they played that?
They were together. What are you talking about?
Oh my God, you got both of them?
Yeah. Well, do you know, I mean,
I might have seen this motion.
We do digress, but we might as well. I mean, I was kind of one of the kings of USA Up All Night. I starred in so many movies that played on Up All Night.
Oh, I always
the first film I directed, Assault of the Party Nerds.
Oh, I
started and wrote and directed. Come on.
Party
and, you know, Gilbert Gottfried himself, when they had the USA Up All Night B-Movie Awards, I was there. They had this televised B-Movie Awards. I don't know if you saw that, but they did like an Oscars of USA Up All Night movies. And Gilbert came up to me and he goes, Assault of the Party Nerds, it's my favorite film ever.
I used to love going to my grandparents' house. Like, my mom would pawn me off of my grandparents, and my grandparents would always go to bed at like 9:30, and I was always so excited because they had cable and I got to stay up and watch USA Up All Night. It was either a Roger Corman movie or it was a Troma movie, typically.
Yeah, a bunch of them. I made Assault of the Party Nerds, and I made Assault of the Party Nerds 2, The Heavy Petting Detective, that played on Up All Night. And I think even Virgin High played on Up All Night also.
That's not the one with Burt Ward in it, is it?
It is. Of course it is. Oh my God. I started that, and I directed it and wrote it.
You're kidding me!
Travis, I want
to
know...
I wouldn't lie to you.
I want to know if the dinosaur was a robot, or if there's people in the dinosaur.
Virgin High is like a pinnacle of like my preteen adolescent years. I taped that off of TV and watched it over and over and over again.
I want to learn about the magic
and
of movies.
And here you are, speaking to Jerry Kaminsky himself.
Holy shit. Mike, why didn't you tell me?
Travis, you could do some research for yourself.
A poster from Columbia Pictures. I'm looking at it right now. It hangs in my living room. It's the crowning achievement of that part of my career.
That's amazing. Kudos to you, sir, and a lot of the enjoyment you gave me as a young man.
Thank you very much.
But the USA Up All Night, that's not what Justice is. Justice is like a...
No, Justice Justice is
a Western.
Was
the
released by Universal Pictures, and, you know, it was released in 10 cities theatrically, and it was when it first was released, it was number one on the iTunes Western list for a couple of weeks and remained in the top 200 movies for quite a while, and thankfully it's doing really well. I mean, yeah, it's been... Those movies are all... that we were talking about are all 25 years old. So
no robot dinosaurs in Justice.
Although, no, John, Justice was
robot
was
dinosaurs
really
would be pretty cool. Like, if you put robot dinosaurs in Justice, I don't know if you could add them in post.
Probably be a different movie, though.
It'd be pretty cool, though.
We were trying to make a classic Western that modern audiences would dig, and I hope that we succeeded. The feedback we've gotten has certainly been great, and you know, all the genre pictures that I did early on, and they certainly they were my film school. I didn't go to film school. I studied journalism. I didn't have any family members in the business. I got in the business through acting, and all part of the journey. You know, I made for the last 10 years, I've made, you know, kind of dramatic thrillers or action films. And I'm thrilled to be doing it.
Richard, the movie made me want to see more Westerns. Are you making more Westerns, or is that your thing now?
I hope so. Well, you know, my thing is, you know, is whatever.
Your thing is working?
There's a lot of irons in the fire. And the first iron that comes connected to a check is what I'm doing next. assuming that, you know, obviously, you know, I wasn't at the Golden Globes, but, you know, I certainly am on enough in my career that I'm not going to just take or make any movie anymore. But yeah, I don't know exactly what's next, but I'd love to make another Western, and I'm working with the producers out in New Mexico and the producers that I worked with before to hopefully do another one. And I think people should definitely check it out. And, you know, it's funny, you were saying that you're fans of Virgin High and all that. You know, that was all of those songs were my band at the time, the Chex. And in all those Up All Night movies, all the songs were me. And played all the clubs on the Sunset Strip back in the day. And I just recorded a new album this year, so you might want to check that out as well.
Where can people find that album?
That album is everywhere. It's called Double Life. Richard Gavai and the Chex. It's called Double Life. And on my website, richardgavai.net, is the only place where if you actually want an old school traditional CD, I have those. Because I made some for my friends. And but it's on, you know, it's streaming everywhere for free. It's streaming on Spotify and iTunes and all those places.
And
listen to it for free. Buy the CD. Go to Richard's website.
Justice is on digital and on demand now. You check out Richard's movie. Richard, you got like a Twitter account that people can reach out to you at? All billion
yeah,
of our
Twitter.
Listeners.
I don't know, but I'm Richard Gavai. I think it's an underscore thing. I'm on Twitter. They can reach out to me there. Gavai. My website, richardgavai.net. There's a little contact. On one side, it's my agent. If they call you back, let me know. Just kidding. on the other side is a little link where anyone who wants to send me a message can. But yeah, definitely follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. And let's talk again soon about something great.
Sounds great, Richard. Thank you so much for calling in.
Enjoyed it. Take care, fellas.
Take care.
Thanks, Richard.
See, Travis, he could have done the research himself. Travis was like, just, Mike, why didn't you give me the bio on Richard Gavai?
He just fanboyed out there, too, big time.
That I found out organically is way more exciting to me than if I would have, like, Googled his name. Like, to find out mid-interview that he starred in one of like the essential motion pictures of my youth.
A good interviewer, they know all the stuff before the guy
pretty
says
great.
It. You know what I'm
pretty
saying?
Pretty great.
In the chat, Michelle says this guy is not taking Mike's dinosaur shit.
Now he didn't want to hear you talking about putting dinosaurs in his like serious Western.
Tell me a movie that would not be better if there's dinosaurs in it. I'm just speaking
Jurassic
facts.
Park.
Mario Brothers.
Speaking facts,
Titanic.